Frank Robinson keeps his word with 200 grand to spare. The era of the ballistic missile may be closing. And he's the CEO, he's a customer, and now he's a blogger. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, February 15th, 2010. Robinson Helicopters had big news to close out last week. Turbin Helicopters will no longer be a millionaire's club. The five-place R-66 will make its debut, priced at $770,000 U.S., and offers an impressive 927-pound payload with full fuel, a top speed of 120 knots, and the ability to hover in or out of ground effect at altitudes in excess of 10,000 feet. The machine will be featured at, and no doubt be the buzz, at Healy Expo 2010 in Houston this coming weekend. You can reserve yours with a deposit of $75,000. With almost 400 Robinson dealers and service centers already established, the company anticipates having extensive support for the R-66 in place by the end of this year. If Iran really has developed ballistic missiles that can reach the U.S. or its allies, it may all be for naught. Boeing and the U.S. Missile Defense Agency report the successful demonstration of the ALTB, or Airborne Laser Testbed, saying it was used to engage and destroy a ballistic missile during its boost phase. This meets a long list of milestones. The experiment marks the first time a laser weapon has engaged and destroyed an in-flight ballistic missile, and the first time any system has done it in the missile's boost phase. ALTB has the highest energy laser ever fired from an aircraft and is the most powerful mobile laser device in the world. In the experiment, a modified Boeing 747 freighter took off from Edwards Air Force Base and focused its high-energy laser at the missile target during its boost phase as the aircraft flew over the Western Sea Range off the coast of California. Boeing is the system's integrator. Northrop Grumman designed and built the laser, and Lockheed Martin developed the beam control and firing control system. John Uzukai is the president and CEO of Aspen Avionics, but he's also a customer. Sort of. He's having a three-display Evolution flight display system installed in his personal airplane, a 2002 Diamond DA-40. He started a blog about the various decisions that go into the planning for the installation. Quote, "I know that many aircraft owners are wary of the cost and time involved in a panel upgrade, so I've documented and will be sharing details of my own installation in my own airplane. Being both new to aircraft ownership and to flying, I look forward to sharing my thoughts and experiences," unquote. John says he'll keep the blog updated, including his flying experiences, after his new panel is complete. Find a link to the straightforwardly named John's blog at the bottom of the text version of this story at aero-news.net. Up next on ANN, Washington State considers a punitive new tax on aircraft owners. Harry Reid promises the Senate will debate FAA funding next month. And businesses in four Gulf Coast states want the KCX contract split. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for February 15th. I'm Paul Plack. The state of Washington has seen Boeing move first its corporate headquarters to Chicago and now some Dreamliner production to South Carolina. The state has also lost three airports in the last 5 years. And yet, lawmakers in Olympia have raised the hammer for yet another blow to aviation in the state. The Washington House of Representatives is considering a measure that would replace the annual registration fee for aircraft with a dramatically higher annual excise tax on aircraft based in the state and not used for interstate commerce. And dramatically is not an overstatement in this case. A home built worth $50,000 would jump from the current $35 a year to $250. That's a jump of 614%. Oh, but wait. The tax on a multi-engine jet valued at $5 million would jump from $140 to $25,000 a year, an increase of more than 17,700%. Clearly, the premise here is that if you can afford to own any aircraft, you have money to burn. But the lopsided bias against business jets is breathtaking and has gotten NBAA's attention. 90% of the new revenue raised would go to the state's general fund, only 10% earmarked for aviation improvements. It'll be interesting to see if the revenue raised is enough to replace what's lost in aviation fuel taxes, most of which already gets poured into the general fund trough. It'll also be interesting to see how many residents with aircraft vote with their feet. Maybe Washington State needs a new tax on moving vans. Expect to be hearing more about this issue as it moves. For those of you in Washington State who own both an aircraft and a telephone, the proposal is House Bill 3176. The FAA has been running on temporary extensions to its authorization and funding for years. Now, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has promised that the Senate will set aside a week in March to debate FAA reauthorization. Despite arguments that airline safety requires rethinking the quality of pilot training, Senator Charles Schumer of New York wants an arbitrary increase in hours logged for regional first officers from 250 to 1,500, and the Senate version of the bill pending so far humors him. It also calls for more study of pilot fatigue issues. The Senate has been the bottleneck on reauthorization of late. The House passed a bill last year. A four-state marketing group representing Florida, Alabama, Louisiana, and Mississippi is asking the Pentagon and the U.S. Air Force to put economic development for them above its identified needs for the warfighter. The group of business and economic development interests, calling itself the Aerospace Alliance, is lobbying the DoD to split the upcoming KCX tanker contract between Boeing and a rival venture by Northrop Grumman and Eads. Alliance Regional Rep. Al Wenstrand says the group, quote, supports a split that would benefit both Boeing and Northrop Grumman and provide the most expeditious means of replacing the aging tanker. In addition, it would create up to 100,000 jobs throughout all 50 states, including thousands of jobs in Alabama, Florida, Louisiana, and Mississippi, unquote. The U.S. Air Force has had a chilly reaction in the past to the idea of a split contract, and neither company wants one either. Northrop Grumman has complained that the draft version of a request for proposal, expected to be released later this month, is stacked in Boeing's favor, and it does not plan to bid unless it's revised, which the Air Force has ruled out. Boeing's William Barksdale says bluntly, quote, we expect it to be a winner-takes-all. We are eager to be in the competition and win the contract, unquote. Still ahead, NASA's most powerful solar observatory yet has reached orbit. NATA has a new award program for maintenance techs. And some flights are just more rewarding. You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, February 15th. I'm Paul Platt. NASA reports the successful launch Thursday of SDO for Solar Dynamics Observatory, expected to give scientists unprecedented detail on the inner workings of the Sun. After adjustments, SDO will take up a geosynchronous orbit of the Earth, capture high-res images of the Sun every 3/4 of a second, and send 1.5 terabytes of data to Earth daily. That's the equivalent of 380 full-length motion pictures. The hope is for better information on solar phenomena, which can disable satellites, GPS functionality, and terrestrial communications and power grids on Earth. NATA, the National Air Transportation Association, has developed a new maintenance organization on her, open to any full-time aircraft or components maintenance or repair business, and to many entities which conduct aviation maintenance. The NATA Aviation Maintenance Technician Employer Recognition Program awards aviation maintenance organizations that encourage and support aviation maintenance technician training. It's based on the percentage of AMTs employed directly or indirectly by a maintenance organization who participate in qualified training events. An AMT must complete at least 12 hours of training each year to be counted toward the organization's award percentage. If this sounds vaguely similar to the FAA's Aviation Maintenance Technician Award, listen to this. NATA VP Eric Beyer says members, quote, found the paperwork for the existing FAA award program to be cumbersome and time-consuming. The NATA program will lighten the paperwork burden while acknowledging employers that support education and training, unquote. You can find all the details on the new award program at nata.aero. And finally today, Jerry Severson of Bozeman, Montana, and his twin commander are no stranger to volunteer flights in support of people who need them. But he calls a flight he made in January of 2007, quote, the neatest thing I've ever done, unquote. His passengers included Marine Corps Lance Corporal Matthew Ryan Bradford and his mother, Debbie. The two are major Kentucky Wildcat fans, and Severson flew them to the game in Lexington from San Antonio, Texas. Matt lost both legs to a roadside improvised incendiary device and his eyesight while serving in Iraq. Following 18 months of recovery, he has sought a continued career with the Marines, working with injured soldiers returning from combat. He's also been water skiing, rock climbing, surfing, scuba diving, and has entered marathons using a hand cycle. The flight to the Wildcats home game was arranged through Warriors and Quiet Waters Foundation, based in Bozeman. The foundation invites wounded vets from wars in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Iran to Montana for a 6-day program of fly fishing and recreation to provide a respite from the rigors and stresses of war and from the treatment they have endured. Using an ear set to hear the play-by-play, Matt got to enjoy a last-second win by the Wildcats. He displayed his great attitude and sense of humor by being the only fan in the stands with an eye painted in team colors, a prosthetic one, of course. And Severson let him ride right seat in the commander, even handling the controls for a while. At one point on the return flight, after encountering headwinds and deteriorating conditions, Severson relates, quote, I turned around and told Matt, I can't see a thing. And he said, I can't either, unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves offers an easy, safe test to see what your best option will be if you suffer an in-flight engine failure. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.